Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Love the 80s? Then you'll love Virgin Radio 80s Plus.
Love Chris Evans. Love the 80s.
Over on Virgin Radio
80s Plus.
All right, talking of all the shows, who's next on ours, Vassos?
Our next guest is a BAFTA and Emmy-winning superstar who tonight, for one night only, wants to flog you a posh car.
Yes.
He's part of the presenting team for Comic Relief on BBC One from 7pm, including your chance to win a James Bond Aston Martin. So let's all prepare to be shaken and stirred by a man who's always a 10 out of David Tennant.
Good morning, Jamie!
Morning.
How are you today?
I'm full of joy. Full of joy for Red Nose Day.
We're really sorry to get you on this morning when I know I've been there many times before myself. It's a long day. You don't start till 7. It's hurry up and wait today, isn't it, David?
Oh, I think there's lots to do today. There'll be lots of last-minute rehearsals and madness. But yes, there's a lot hanging about. But we're very excited. We're very much looking forward to 7 o'clock tonight.
All right, mate. BBC One, also on Amazon. It's so super cool. Now, Dave, whenever Carfest gives a car to Comic Relief and you're in charge, we always get the most money for it. Because you could literally, I don't know, you could sell water to the waterboard. You just have that. He has such an honest face. He's so trustworthy, David Tennant. So well done. What are your plans? Are you making a film? Have you had a drive with the car? What do you think?
I've seen the car.
Right.
It's a thing of great beauty.
Yes.
It really is a sleek piece of kit, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness me.
Are you sure you want to give that away?
Yeah, no, of course we do. Of course we do. And in the past, I remember, what was the one you gave? You did a great job on one of our cars one year. Do you remember which car it was?
It was the electric. Was it an electric Beetle?
You did the electric Beetle, but you did another one as well, and you made this amazing film for it. It was so good. And
then there was the Queen's one, but I wasn't allowed near the Queen's one. That was done on a little pre-record. I don't know why.
All right, so what else is happening? Because I know there are other giveaways. What can you tell us about any potential surprises? How can you whet our appetite to watch the show tonight?
Well, it's always a night full of stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
So there's some brilliant sketches. It's also Lenny Henry's final show.
Of course.
Lenny has been involved in Comic Relief for 39 years.
Yes.
And he thought, I don't want to make it to 40. I'm going to give up this year. So it's his final one. So there'll be a bit of stuff about that, looking back at some of the amazing things that he's been involved in.
Yeah.
He also does a bit of a Ryan Gosling. And I'm Just Len is one of the highlights of the evening.
Very good. What time is that going to be on?
Oh, don't ask me things like that. I have no idea. You obviously want to watch the whole show from 7 through to 10, won't you?
Yeah, of course you do. All right. So we got Lenny Henry, you got Joel Dummett, you got Davina McCall, Paddy McGuinness, Ramachandran Nathan, Maya Jama, you got Rosie Ramsey. Also, you got surprise guest star performances, appearances from Claudia Winkle-Picker, Jonathan Bailey, David Williams, Catherine Tate, and more. Cool.
McFly are doing a brilliant sort of medley of Comic Relief songs as well. That's quite exciting.
Yeah, because they famously had a number one with It's All About You, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent jumper, by the way, this morning, David.
Well, thank you. A jumper for the radio, obviously.
It's gorgeous. It has a Comic Relief theme to it of sorts.
The jumper?
Yeah.
Well, it's got a bit of red in it.
Exactly.
That's what you mean.
Yeah, we'll take a bit of red.
Right. Got optimism and joy.
So what are you? I mean, obviously you're hosting. Are you also acting? Are you sketching? Are you pranking? What are you doing today?
Well, there is a W1E sketch,
and
so I have a little bit of involvement in W1E as the voice of God in that. Right. But other than that, I'm just here on the night, really, and being part of. Yeah, there's 8 presenters, so it's chaos. You can imagine.
Yeah, but that's what you want, though, isn't it? You want all the chaos. Nobody cares, and the more things that go wrong, the better. A, it's live. B, it's more fun. C, people are going to stay tuned, stay engaged. As an actor, and you know, I've known lots of actors. I know lots of actors. I was married to the brilliant Billy. I have been on sets, and I know it is all about hurry up and waiting for actors. So as a presenter, all right, so I'd be chomping in the bit all day, and come 7 o'clock tonight, I'd have shot all the beans before we get to go on. But you're really good at this stuff, aren't you? You're really good at pacing yourself.
So the thing with a big event like Comic Relief that you don't have when you're on set filming something, because it's live.
Yes.
There's lots of other stuff happening in the day, especially because, you know, there's social media things and an interview for this and a bit of that and talking to this person about blah, blah, blah. So it does sort of rumble on all day. It's a bit more like being at a festival. there's always someone with a camera or a microphone. So it's kind of once the day begins, and it has begun, it'll just sort of bubble along till we're live on the telly, I think. Quite exciting.
It's really exciting. Which is the production that you've worked on, right, David, where you spent most time hurry up and waiting?
Probably Harry Potter. Because
all right, that would make sense,
It's something of that scale.
Yeah.
You would rehearse a bit in the morning, then you'd wait till you'd shoot something maybe 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Something that the more money a production has, the longer it takes to get them done.
Wow. See, that is so exciting. The world of film. Vassos has a request on behalf of the whole planet.
Wow.
I do have a request on behalf of the whole planet.
He would like you to bring something back. Bring it back.
Yes.
Bring it back.
I think,
on the BBC.
Staged was one of my favourite things that I've ever seen ever anywhere, David. Please, can we have more of it?
Well, it's not entirely up to me. I mean, we sort of finished it with... The trouble is, it was so born out of lockdown. I mean, it was something that existed because we suddenly found ourselves, you know, on Zoom screens and thought, well, what do you do with this? So it was so of its time and of its moment. We'd have to have a new idea as to where to take it in a world where we don't exist locked in our houses.
Okay. For people who don't know, it was you and Michael. Was it Michael McIntyre or Barry Sheen you did it with? Oh, no, Michael Sheen. You did it with Michael Sheen.
Martin Sheen. We like to call him Martin Sheen. He loves that.
All right, pal. So how will you be displaying the amazing car tonight? This is an actual... You can win an actual Bond car for a one-off gift of a tenner tonight on the telly. And it's an original, official Die Another Day press car. It's gorgeous. It was specced up by the CEO of Aston Martin back in the day. Its chassis number ends with 007. It's got the guns on the bonnet. It's got it's got the rocket launchers in the grill. It's got it all going on. How are you going to display it? What airtime will you give it? Where is your Comet Relief car lot this year?
It's parked up outside the front of BBC Salford.
Oh, nice.
That's where it will be. It will be in the piazza.
Brilliant.
I won't be allowed to drive it because I'm not insured. But I think, you know, maybe we'll enjoy a martini outside it. A non-alcoholic, of course. We wouldn't on the BBC be wanting to drive cars under the influence of alcohol.
No, of course not. And so you're on for the 3 hours. Does Comet Relief go on after 10 this year?
Does.
Tell us about that.
It does. Rosie Ramsey and Paddy McGuinness have got a show. This is where I'm slightly struggling with my details. They go on afterwards, though, don't they?
Yeah.
And then there's also a show later about Lenny and Lenny's contribution. I mean, there'll be a bit of that in our show, but about Lenny's whole contribution to this sort of the 39 years of it.
All right, mate. And I know you've got to go by 9 o'clock because you are doing all the interviews because everybody wants as much Tenant as they can get. You've been awesome for us. Comet Relief, £1.5 billion, the better off for, and only because of the people who watch the shows and listen to the radio shows. Cometrelief.com, 7 o'clock tonight. David, please give our love to everybody there. I really, really wish you all the best. I hope you have a great day. Give my love to Seleni. He's awesome. You're awesome. Well done. The best of.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for the car. We'll try and get as much money as possible.
All right, mate. David Tennant live from Salford. There you go. No problem at all.
Love music? Love interviews with lovely musicians? Search Virgin Radio UK on YouTube to find brilliant album specials with some of the shiniest lights on our playlist, including George Ezra.
This is going to be something I'll remember, and that's a really lovely thing. I don't think I was able to do that in the past.
And James Bay. Come on, let
it go. Don't you agree that everybody needs someone when they feel alone?
Watch all that and more at youtube.com/Virgin Radio UK.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Fassos, who's on next?
Our next guest is an Emmy Award-winning actor who, since the 90s, we've all secretly been a bit in love with. Now he will grace the West End in a world premiere of a new musical in concert, Wild About You, at the Theatre Royal, Drury Lane, later this month. So please welcome the mesmeric Eric McCormack.
All right, Eric!
Oh, that is the best I've had.
Ever.
That's really
best
good.
Ever. And you get a career ever. Best.
Yeah.
Mesmeric. Boom. Oh, right. Last time I saw you, you had a moustache.
Ah, yes. Well, and not only that, I was speaking with an English accent. I was doing Broadway last year.
Yeah.
It's a new show that felt like an old show. It's kind of like a Noel Coward spoof, and we were all doing these great posh accents, and I, of course, I had to grow the little sort of Clark Gable mustache.
And you were out-moustached on stage by a bigger moustache.
We all three of us had stashes in that show.
And they were real, they weren't rip-off,
they were real. Oh, yeah.
Did you worry about being able to grow one? Have you dabbled in the moustache world before?
Yeah, I have. In fact, I had a ridiculous one for a Canadian film about 3 years ago that just was absurd, like Burton Cummings sort of mustache, and I like a hockey mustache.
Yeah.
And that's really unattractive. I couldn't wait to get that one off. But this one was like a nice little sort of.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It was very Clark Gable. I saw you on a couple of US talk shows.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Kimmel and other stuff. And I thought, no, it is Clark Gable. It was you carried it off with aplomb, let me tell you.
Thank you. Mustaches throw people. I mean, every guy under 40 these days has a beard. And it's like Fleetwood Mac all over again.
Yes.
But a mustache, unless you're a fireman, people don't know what to do or where to look.
Yeah, or what you do. For a day job.
Exactly. Everyone goes to porn, and I'm like, what porn are you watching that people still have mustaches?
Or wrestling. Perhaps maybe the odd wrestler.
The odd wrestler.
Combine the two.
Yeah.
Fill your boots. So Broadway was good. Cottage was good.
Great fun.
So it was a sexy British farce, and you're having all the fun on Broadway.
Exactly.
That's super cool. You're here now. You're in a musical. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a new musical by a woman I've known for years, brilliant singer herself, named Chelina Kennedy, out of Canada, like I am. And but she's written her own. It is a very modern musical, 6 characters, very much about modern love. Girl leaves her husband for another woman, then leaves the woman for another man, then has a baby with him, and the first guy raises the baby. All sorts of...
It's like TikTok gone mad.
Exactly. But great songs. She writes great pop songs, and... And it's all brand new. So if you come out on the 25th and 6th, you will hear some great new songs.
So this is the Drury Lane, Theatre Royal Drury Lane, 25th and 26th of March, lwtheatres.co.uk, lwtheatres.co.uk. Blink and you'll miss the tickets. Blink and you'll miss the musical. I mean, you know, how come, you know, why not, of course, but how come just the 2 dates? Because you haven't to do all the stuff as if it's going to run for years and years and years anyway.
It's everything's expensive these days.
Right.
You've got to give it a whirl. We actually did a recording of it. I say we. I'm only on part of it. But there was kind of a proof of concept album last year that Chelina produced with Daniel Edmonds, our musical producer. And it was mostly Broadway stars singing these songs.
Right.
And it gave a real taste of what it could be. And this will be... I thought this was going to be just sort of standing at music stands, concert version. This is like a full-on... 2 nights only production with sets and costumes, and when we're I got an 8-piece orchestra. It's gonna be great.
That's, I mean, it sounds spectacular. I remember when Led Zeppelin got back together and they played the O2 and everybody went. I mean, you know, clearly Led Zeppelin are maybe, you know, with the exception of like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, and maybe that's probably it. Led Zeppelin, the most famous band.
Did you see that show?
Yeah, I went there. I was lucky enough to get there. I had to break in to get a seat. Yeah. But the audience was like, it was like Paul McCartney was there, U2 were there. And I remember Paul McGuinness, who was U2's manager at the time, he leaned over to me and said, "There's no way this is a one-off." Because it took so much, and it was a one-off. They didn't do it again. And I'm sort of thinking the same thing with you guys, because it's all the effort, all the sets. I mean, you know, well done, but we want more. We want more.
Well, let's see if we... hopefully, that's exactly the case.
Is it like a pilot show, almost?
Yeah. I think this is interesting, you know, isn't it? Could be for a further West End, or it could be for Broadway. It's just getting a taste of... Does it work for an audience? Are they following it? Do they love it?
Why wouldn't it? Wild about you. How are you feeling about it? How do you feel, you know?
I feel... I mean, my co-stars in the show are like West End vets.
Right.
They're all... They sort of stumble out of bed and sound brilliant.
Wow.
And I just flew in. I was Oscar weekend last week, and there's always a bunch of parties, and then I get on a plane... So I'm a little rough. I'll get there.
Okay. I'm glad you brought up the Oscars, because I saw all the pics and you were on the red carpet. What's it like?
Well, so I've mentioned this many times in press, but one of my best friends from high school is David Furnish.
Yeah.
So for 25 years now, we've gone to David and Elton's party that raising money for the AIDS Foundation, and it's always great. It's a little Groundhog Day. It's the same, but if you go every year, it's the same party. But it's so reliably wonderful. And they raised this year over $10 million we raised.
So cool.
So it's always a big event. And it's supposed to be a viewers, you're supposed to watch the show on big screens. No one watches, everyone just drinks, and I always end up beside Heidi Klum, which is not a
how would you
hardship.
Rate this year's Oscars? A, as a show, B, to do, you know, as who won what. So first of all, A as a show, out of 10, what do you think?
Well, like I say, we weren't really paying attention at the AIDS Foundation party, but it looked great. I always loved Jimmy Kimmel hosting.
I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, he's and it's like it came on under. I mean, I'm so used to being frustrated and furious at the end that they open the first few awards last 5 minutes each, and at the end they're rushing through like they that we didn't know we only had 3 hours. Every year the same thing. This year they did it so much better.
I thought the when he read out the tweet from Donald Trump, that was isn't it past your jail time?
Oh,
it's so funny, man.
It's funny. It's funny if you live over here. Over there, it's getting dire.
Yeah, it's getting close as well, isn't it?
It's so freaking dire to think. We all thought 4 years ago, okay, that's done.
Yeah.
We're done.
Okay, that was the warning.
That horrible thing happened and we're done.
Yeah. It's coming back.
It's happening again.
It's coming back, man. All right, well, it's Friday. You're here for sunnier reasons. Now, many of the team, because they're like 12 years old, hadn't heard of Will and Grace. So yesterday I'm going, you got to watch Will and Grace. So Aussie Jane and Tilly and Felix, they watched episode one, season one, Will and Grace, 1997. And they are in love with it, and they've got like the next.
It does get better, guys.
It really does get better.
Hair gets better, that's for sure.
Oh my goodness! I mean, I know you've had a million conversations about Will and Grace, but we have to have another one.
Yes.
Your audition story for Will and Grace is interesting, isn't it? Tell us about that.
Well, there's a couple of great ones. I mean, I'd been around for a few years down there. I was already mid-30s, and I was due. I was like, I was in love with Seinfeld. I had auditioned for Friends. It was
did
like,
you actually?
I had a callback for Ross, and years later, the same director of that show directed Will and Grace. And I said, "Jimmy, you know, I came pretty close on Ross," and he said, "Oh, honey, they wrote the part for Schwimmer. You were wasting your time." So, my turn. I read this thing and I thought, it's mine. I know this part's mine. Six, seven auditions, and I got it. But the first audition, I just came in. I was very me. It was a park bench scene with Grace, and I sort of finished and I looked up at the guy that created the show, who was gay, and he said, "Okay, just so you know, you never need to be gayer than that." And I went, "Huh. Thank you.
Gayer than what?
Gayer than exactly what I had just done, apparently. I said, yeah, my father has said that to me throughout my life. But the other one was just that then I had the part for like a month and we couldn't find Grace. We couldn't find her. And that final day that we finally met Messing was this whole elaborate scheme at Jimmy's house with actresses coming in and out. They weren't supposed to know that each other existed. And I was a mess from shooting all night with William Shatner, of all things. So, yeah, it was a journey to get there. But
you had to put yourself on hold, though, didn't you? Because when it was pilot season at the time. It was one of the first pilots of the pilot season. The pilot season is about 6 to 8 weeks, is it? Something like that?
Yeah.
And so you did one, and then you did a couple of others, and then the director said, no, you're going to get this. Or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was a bit of a break where this show came up very early in pilot season. It was kind of early December of 97. And to commit to something that early and not know that what's going to around the bend was a bit of a act of faith. I kind of pulled away briefly. And then Max, who created the show, called me at my home in Vancouver. And he said, are you not doing this? And I said, well, I'm not sure yet, Max. I might. And he said, this is the dumbest mistake you've ever made in your life. And he was right.
Yeah. Well, you hadn't made it yet, had you?
I mean, that's the thing.
And, you know, that period, because it was the Friends period, wasn't it? It was Sex in the City. It was Friends. I mean, it was the halcyon days of those kind of, those kind of shows, they don't exist anymore. It's like those amazing sort of dramedies they made in the 80s, those movies that were comedies, but without the jokes, you know, like Beverly Hills Cop and 48 Hours. And Pretty Woman and the Michael Douglas movies, they were all Indiana Jones, funny but not comedies. And then you hit this sort of 92 to sort of 2000s almost cutoff point at this mega time. What was that like? Were you aware of the fact that you were in this sort of purple patch, this multiplex purple patch of these comedies that the likes of which will never be seen again?
Kind of were, yeah, because of, I mean, in many ways it had started with Cheers in the States years before, but on NBC in particular, we suddenly had Seinfeld and we had Friends and we had Mad About You, and it was called Must See TV. That was the slogan they used. And to be part of that at the time, we were aware that it was the best of times. And
they were gang shows. They were all, that's what they had in common, wasn't it? They were ensembles.
Yep, they were all ensembles, all featuring new people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that
Frasier
was,
would come
you know,
into the...
And Frasier was very much part of it, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean,
wow.
And it was a time when, and I'm sure it's the same over here, there's that you get to discover people on television. You know, not everybody has to be a big star. And that's why those ensemble comedies worked so well, because people still to this day call me Will because...
Of course, you don't mind.
Yeah, it's like, well, I'll be on my tombstone, probably.
I've been thinking about it. Don't call him Will.
I remember going to Vegas, and we were going to a restaurant, and I walked up, and the woman said, Oh my God. You have no idea. I watched every single episode 1,000 times, like 1,000 times. My boyfriend and I, 1,000 times I've seen your show. And I said, oh, that's so great. She said, are you here tonight? I said, yeah, I've got a reservation. She said, name? And I said, you've seen the show 1,000 times and you've never noticed my name?
Sorry.
I don't look at the crowd.
Yeah, you'll always be Will to me. But it was like, I mean, that time was like the 60s was for rock and roll. And, you know, and it sort of stopped. It's like everybody agreed to stop almost at the same time. Looking at Curb Your Enthusiasm now, which is in its 12th season, and it finishes here, or the last one is broadcast, the last new one is broadcast on, I think it's April the 8th or 9th. You know, whole different kind of punk kind of, but they're actually saying that's going to be the end of another kind of era of comedy. You know, your offices, you know, that kind of offbeat comedy.
Yeah, what came in sort of at the same time, but at the tail end of us, was The Office, 30 Rock, Curb Your Enthusiasm, where there wasn't a live audience, where it was a single camera. Well, we didn't have a laugh track.
No, I know you didn't.
We
had
a live
audience. Some of the shows did,
But yeah, and it was a much more post-ironic. It was a new thing.
I loved it.
Love it too. Yeah. But it kind of killed the thing that we were doing.
Interesting.
And it's very hard now.
I wonder what happens next, because there's no. I mean, I'm sure there are. You know, I'm an old fart now, or older. That annoys people who are really old. We're all getting older. But I wonder where the new shoots are for the new vibe, the new genre, you know, because music wise, you know, it was pop music. It was funk. It was psychedelic. It was prog rock. Then we had the 80s bangers, and then we had guitar, the 90s. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing for comedy. You know, you start with MASH. Then you get to, somehow you get to Cheers. Mm-hmm. You know, you start with Phil Silvers, I would imagine.
Yeah, I wonder well, what's. I didn't, but he has.
I wonder what's next. Any ideas?
Well, like I mean, I used the term post-ironic, but even that's a hackneyed term now. It's like, are we all too smart for our own good that we don't know how to do a good old-fashioned comedy anymore? When you see some of the variety shows, both in Britain and in the U.S., from the 60s and 70s, you can't do that anymore. No. I mean, you can't do the Sonny and Cher show or Dean Martin. That's gone because we're all too smart and too clever. So I don't know how we continue to do that. And even like my son's 21, when I see what younger people are doing themselves, the DUI shows that they're doing on their phone, that they're doing for TikTok or whatever, I don't even understand it, some of it. And my son will show me something, I'll go, is that funny? And he goes, yeah, Dad. Yeah. That's funny. Okay, all right. I guess I'm.
Yeah, and you're doing what I do. You're thinking, is it funny, as opposed to just letting it either be funny or not funny. It's like we're having to think about it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh God, it's so embarrassing.
Yeah, it's so everything's so inside.
What about Ted Lasso? You seen Ted Lasso?
Ted Lasso's great.
Yeah,
Ted Lasso's great. I mean, it got a little sentimental for me.
Yeah.
It got too sentimental for
me. But at least they stopped after three, which is good.
Yeah.
After three series, which is excellent. On your bio, you are described as American-Canadian. Are you American-Canadian or Canadian-American?
I'm Canadian first.
You're Canadian first.
Yeah.
And what's the vibe up? Are you used to live in Canada?
Part-time. I'm in Vancouver a part of the time, in LA the other part.
We all love a bit of Canada, and we all love a Canadian.
Yeah.
Why do we love you so much?
Because we worship at your feet and are on your coattails. I mean, we were always somewhere in between. My upbringing in Toronto was... You know, the Queen is on our money. We were watching Monty Python before anybody in North America. But we're also watching all the American shows and wanting to be that, too. So we're just sort of the wannabe kid that wants our Brits and we want our Americans,
too. But Canada's rocking now. I mean, a lot of American shows and films are made in Canada now.
Yeah, but I mean, the area where it really took off first was music. I mean, you were mentioning Bare Naked Ladies before, who are friends of mine. I adore them. Oh, yeah.
No way!
In fact, we had the same French teacher. I had a French teacher that taught Stephen and Ed drama in the 90s. It's true. But 90s? No, in the 80s. Whereas Canadian television and film have taken longer for Canadians to embrace... The music, I mean, you think of just the 80s alone, women, solo women in the 80s, Sarah McLachlan, Celine Dion, Katie Lang, Shania Twain, it goes on and on, Alanis Morissette, all at the same time having gigantic worldwide hits, and the bands that have come out of Canada, it's pretty amazing, the Canadian music.
Who else do you hang with? Because you mentioned David and Elton and Bare Naked Ladies. You sound like you're in a cool groove, man. You got a cool thing going on.
There's a really fun thing that we've actually christened the CADS, which it stands for the Character Actors Dining Society. And it's just a bunch of guys my age and a little older that eat when we can. And it's Jason Alexander and Richard Kind and LeVar Burton and Bryan Cranston and Noah Wiley. It's a great group of guys that have just been around the block.
I've seen the photos.
Yeah.
That's a hang, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it's a great hang. And it mixes and matches depending on who's
busy. How do you decide the date and the venues of those particular spontaneous hangs?
They're not that spontaneous, but it's we have a text chain.
Is it like a once a month thing? Or
we try.
And is it a men's group? Is it sort of an unofficial men's group as well? Do you talk it all out?
Ish. I mean, it wasn't sort of meant to be just guys, but it sort of was at the same time.
Yeah.
And then once in a while, if somebody's wife or something drops by, she's like the Angie Dickinson of the... There's an ancient reference for you. The Shirley MacLaine she'll be.
And where are we talking, Laurel Canyon? Where are we hanging?
Several restaurants.
Hopefully, but it'd be great if you were. You're not going to be there, so give them a shout out. If people are going to Los Angeles, where might they want to go for a good lunch?
Oh, wow. Well, if you want to see, you know, guys like us sitting around in the back room, Craig's on Melrose. Shout out to Craig, who always hosts us beautifully. Musso and Frank's is fun, old school.
Should you get us to Beverly Glen? Would you go up there or not?
There's a great place in Beverly Glen that I haven't been to.
It's
in
like
years.
A mini Air 101. There.
Yeah, right. I'm in an area of Studio City. So nice. It's like this morning I'm out in Hammersmith, and getting here was, you know, like I had to take an air balloon. It was so freaking far. But and it's same in LA. When I'm in my area and people say, meet you in Santa Monica for dinner. I'm like, Santa Monica? Yeah. What am I, 30? No, I'm not leaving. It's so far in traffic.
We stay in Venice every summer. And, you know, I said to my friend, I said, I'll come and see you in Malibu Canyon. He said, really? Not on a Friday, you won't?
Yeah.
It's like 3 hours. It's not that far away, but the cars, the traffic and all this kind of
stuff. Traffic's crazy.
I've got to tell you, Hammersmith, it's not that far away. Did you come in a car?
Yeah.
That's probably why.
I know.
It's actually quite near. So you're here for a while. Are you in Diggs or a hotel?
Got a nice little flat for the next 10 days.
Nice, that's cool, isn't it? Yeah. And you know London quite well. You've never worked here before, though.
Never worked here. Just come over for press and stuff like that. But I know it relatively well, but have I really explored everywhere? No. And I won't get to this time simply because we're rehearsing.
How much of the day does it take up?
8 hours.
8 hours. So what time?
We're kind of 10 to 6. Like as soon as I leave you, I'll go right into rehearsal.
So it's a regular working day in a way.
Six days a week.
I'm going to write some hangs down for you because it's only fair.
Great. Please do.
You Borough Market's here. You know, one of the greatest food markets in the world. Outside the door. It's like awesome.
I did see that as we
Camden Market. You've been to Camden Market?
Been to Camden Market, but it's been years.
Yeah. Notting Hill?
It's been, again, been years.
So you've done it. You've
done
you've
it, but it's been a long time.
Sense and a flavour. And what else might you want to get up to? Because we lots of famous actors, not famous, but lots of actors and some famous actors. And if they are in a production, they will often try to achieve something whilst engaging with the production in their downtime. So, for example, there's that great thing online that if you do something for 18 minutes a day, every day of the year, you'll be 95% better at it than 95% of the world. And it doesn't take that much stuff, you know, that much effort.
That's crazy.
Any of that going on?
Okay. I'm trying to, you know, post-Christmas to do some exercises, but 18 minutes,
you look,
God.
You look fit as a bunch of dog. Do you know that phrase?
I don't, but I'm going to use it from now on.
Okay, it's a very Anglophile phrase. All right, come on, let's sell some more tickets. Wild About You, the musical in concert, the Royal Theatre Royal Drury Lane, 25th and 26th of March, starring this man here, Eric McCormack, and his mates, lwtheatres.co.uk. Come on, give us one more minute on why people should come and get a ticket now.
Well, first of all, I hear that Drury Lane has been revamped like $80 million,
stunning.
£80 million. So
best.
I cannot wait to see that, and neither can you if you haven't been. The music in this thing is great. The singers, me aside, the singers in the show are so freaking great, and I'm falling in love with them. I've only been working for 2 days. You don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss this. You can be on the ground floor of something very
yeah,
big.
Yeah, we can get you in. That's a phrase, isn't it, when you're raising funds? Like, get you on the ground floor.
Get you on the ground floor, yeah.
Oh, my goodness me. Have you seen on Netflix The Gentleman?
No, but I heard it was great. Somebody was talking about it the other day.
Have you seen the movie?
Yeah, no.
So there's the movie. It's a Guy Ritchie movie, Lock, Stock,
yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff.
I thought that's what you meant. No, okay.
Well, it's
a series.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, Eric. So you, my friend, you've got the movie to watch, right? Already jealous. Can't rewatch it for the first time because that's not what happens.
No.
But they've got this new 8-part TV show, which is, it's outrageous.
All right, I'm in.
Have you seen Saltburn?
Yes, I love Saltburn.
Out of 10, how much? Because people love and hate. I think Saltburn is one of the greatest films ever made.
Yeah.
Some people don't get it at all.
Oh, I gave it a 9. And particularly because I didn't know anything about it going in, hard to do these days.
Yes, and you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
And quickly about the Oscars. From the top 10 movies, I haven't seen Poor Things.
Poor Things. I loved Poor Things.
The Holdovers.
I love The Holdovers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are probably my two. And another one called Past Lives, which
Past
if you
Lives,
haven't
very good.
Seen.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's a few others that I've never heard of. Okay, that's all that. Anything else? Anything else to tell us? Come on.
Absolutely
Eric.
Nothing.
Come on, Eric.
Not a damn thing, Chris.
And when you go back to where you live, what are you gonna what's next?
Well, I do have one more thing. Yes, that'll actually bring me through London for a second, but I'm doing a 6-part new series for BBC.
Yes.
That we're shooting all summer, all spring and summer in the Canary Islands. It's called Nine Dead Bodies in a Mexican Morgue.
Hello.
Yes, Anthony Horowitz wrote it, and 11th Hour Productions here in London is producing. I can't wait. We start in May, and it's a great, it's kind of a plane crash meets Agatha Christie murder mystery. It's really fun.
It sounds great, man.
It's going to be fun.
Are you still having all the fun?
I'm having as much fun as one can have.
Good for you. We've got a little snippet here of Wild About You. Starts from Eric. Shall we get it on the radio?
The things I feel inside me are moving like the breeze. Colours fade, rearrange, and all will cease to be. What gets me up brings me down, and I am torn apart. But I know I've always loved you. Right from the start.
See, now he didn't need to do that. Control room round of applause, because he did not need to do that. That was above and beyond. So you didn't need to do that.
I didn't, particularly at 10 a.m. in the morning.
I think that means you may have enjoyed your visit here.
I may have had a good time.
All right.
Is there a loot bag?
Oh, yeah. That was very Richard Marxy.
There's a little Richard Marx
Like on there, breathy, getting there. I can do this. You know, if you want more, scream if you want to go faster, that kind of thing. Who do you love musically?
Oh, I grew up with, pretending to be Freddie Mercury in my bedroom.
By the way, you do a great Freddie Mercury.
Oh, thank you very much.
You would. Get the old moustache back on there.
Yeah, no, I used to do. I mean, in fact, we'd be recording in front of an audience for Will and Grace, and I would sometimes, if I wasn't in the next scene, I would dress up as Freddie.
You would not.
Yeah,
shut up.
There's footage of it of me just aping Freddie out in the audience.
Did you ever see them live?
Oh yeah,
you did.
78.
Where?
In Toronto.
No.
And then in 80.
78. All right, so 78.
78 was the jazz album that just come out.
Oh, my gosh. Best album?
Yeah,
I love. It's not an argument we need to have. But 78, they were, I mean, obviously Live Aid, blah, 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 yakety yak and all that, but 78 was vintage.
Yeah, I'm 70s queen for mostly. By the time we got to Live Aid, it was getting into...
Favourite band? Queen? Favourite band?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
ELO.
Queen, Elton.
Beatles.
Billy Joel. Yeah.
Okay, Beach Boys or Beatles?
Well, for me, Beatles.
Yeah, I would say so.
There's a few key Beach Boys songs, but...
There's that whole thing about Pet Sounds, isn't there?
Well, yeah.
Pet Sounds versus Sgt. Pepper, which I've never got. I've tried to pretend that I get it, but I don't get it. I've got to be honest. Front page of the Times 2 section, and the Times newspaper is made in this building. They're talking about the fact that Mark Knopfler, who's on the show next week to talk about...
Oh, that's exciting.
He's formed a new supergroup, and he's coming on the show to ask me to be in it. No, sorry, just to talk about the fact that I'm not in it. And so they've discussed their favourite guitarist of all time. All the journalists have had a bit of fun. And they said, oh, I think this, I think that. But they didn't, they've not included, right? I might have to go downstairs to the 13th floor and have a word with them. They haven't included...
Brian May?
No, Brian May's in.
Good.
Right, guess who they haven't included? This is a fun game. Guess who they haven't included? Three unbelievable guitarists, not included. And by the way, they usually know their onions, these guys.
Well, Clapton's in there.
No, he's not in there.
Good God.
What is wrong with these people? Seriously. It's British politics. It's fried all their brains. Because we're having our own issues here. You are aware of that.
I do know that, yeah.
So no, you're correct. Eric Clapton, not in there. Right, who else is not in there?
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Stevie Ray Vaughan isn't in there. By the way, well done, Stevie
Ray
Vaughan. Isn't in there.
Fascinating.
I know. So for Stevie Ray Vaughan, go back to the '60s and see.
Hendrix is in there.
Not in there, right?
How soon they forget.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on with these guys. Seriously, get some more coffee down to the 13th floor. and also, Jeff Beck's not in there. And all the other guitarists...
You're talking to them. They haven't even heard of Will and Grace. They don't know who Jeff Beck is.
No, of course they... But the point is they do. They do. This is the thing. Because they're rock and roll kids, so they sort of steeped in rock and roll. Obviously, they're working with me, and they have to know who Jeff Beck is. Yeah. Otherwise, they're fired. But talking about Jeff Beck gives me goosebumps because all the other guitarists say he is the guitarist. Who's the actor's actor?
Who's the actor's actor? I don't know. I've got weird influences.
Come on.
Like my favorite influence comedically, but also weirdly as an actor, is Woody Allen. Wow. I steal more from Woody Allen on a daily basis. And I know that's not, I'm not politically correct in saying it anymore, but just as the 70s stuff had musically had such an influence on me, Woody's films from the 70s and into the 80s are what I most derived my sense of humor from.
And is it true that all the ums and the ahs are in the script? Is that right? You know, when he says, I don't know. About...
You wouldn't see them on the page, right. But when you look at his stand-up from the 60s, and you hear all of those, yes. Which is what I was 12. I was listening to his album called Stand Up, which was a collection of all of his mid 60s club dates. And then you hear the same bit from another date, and the ums and ahs are in exactly the same. So it's like kind of like Bob Newhart. There was just a sense of there's a way to do this, and the more natural it sounds, the funnier it is.
Did you ever get to see Robin Williams in concert?
Not in concert, but I had... It was right after 9/11. There was a huge charity concert in Vegas that I was asked to be part of. And afterwards, I sat at late hours. I sat with Robin Williams and Dennis Miller and just listened to them talk. And I barely said anything. And yeah. And Robin was just so sweet and so funny and so complimentary. One of those guys that there are certain people that knock me out in terms of they don't have to be. Paul McCartney.
Yeah, yeah.
I did something with Paul McCartney in L.A. And he came up and I was, you know, trying to just find words.
Be able to speak.
To put words in a certain order, yes. So that they made sense. Yes. And he was like... he said, oh, I used to watch Will and Grace with my daughter. And, oh, I love the new show. What's it called? Perception. And the fact that Paul McCartney, A, knew Perception, but B, would say something nice about it.
Yeah.
And I just, Beatles were great. And I mean, I...
Beatles were great.
He was so generous. And I think that's what I'm always amazed by is when the big ones are as generous as they could possibly
be. By the way, lovely story. Thanks for those bonus stories.
Yeah.
Now that you've mentioned your Robin Williams after party, after show conversations, and your Paul McCartney things, I mean, what's the fanciest thing you've ever been invited to do or the fanciest company that you've ever... I mean,
It would have to be... it was over here, and it was Elton and David's wedding.
Wow.
And
did you play a part?
Well, I sang at their... I sang at their bachelor party in a Soho nightclub the night before.
Right.
Yeah, I sang a dirty song. Ian McKellen did drag.
Wow.
It was pretty great. I remember walking in. I'd just flown over and I walked into this very, it was seedy daytime, like 11 in the morning club in Soho, which hadn't been cleaned up from the night before yet.
Perfect.
And yet the music seemed to still be playing. It was Pet Shop Boys. And then I looked over at the stage and it was actually the Pet Shop Boys rehearsing for their song that they were going to do at the bachelor party.
Oh.
But the next night was the wedding and it was, you know, it was coaches and it was just insane. And my friend Helga and I, she was also in class with David and I 40 years ago. And we walk up and we walk into their Windsor home. And the first person I see is Elvis Costello. And we'd met one time before, and I'm staring, and he goes, oh, hello, Eric. You know George. And it was George Martin. And I went, no, I don't. I haven't met George. And it just got fancier from there.
Yeah, and somewhere along the way, we get paid as well. It is the best job in the world.
It was nuts.
How lucky are we? How lucky are we, Vassos?
Yeah.
Yes.
We're all so lucky, aren't we? Quickly, before you go, only because we're running out of time. Sorry about this, Eric.
No.
Will and Jack, the podcast.
Yes, about a year ago, Sean Hayes came to me and said, everyone's doing these rewatch podcasts of their own shows. Why don't we do ours? And I said, it's great. Well, we can talk forever because we've both seen the show 1,000 times. And he says, I've never actually watched it. I said, you've never actually watched our show? So for me, it's a rewatch podcast. For Sean, it's kind of a watch podcast. Yeah. But we just yak about each episode. We've done about 48 now, and they're all available to you wherever you get your podcast. It's called Just Jack and Will.
Yeah, and Frasier's come back, hasn't it, to great aplomb. It's
I have not seen.
I haven't seen either. I mean, any chance of any talk of any whispers of anything coming back? As far as
we did our reboot a few years ago. We did 3 seasons. It was
did
great.
You like that?
Loved it.
Enjoyed it.
Loved it.
Good for you.
And but I think that's probably.
All right, and Sean, of course, who's Jack in Will and Grace, he is part of this mega podcast, isn't he? What is this thing? Do we want to talk about this?
Not really, because it's upsetting. It's upsetting. They sold it once for $1 trillion, and then they sold it a second time just recently for another trillion.
They've out-Rogan Joe Rogan from a deal point of view, haven't they?
Oh, my God, it's unbelievable.
So what is this? Three of them? What is it again?
There's three of them, and they just, it's Will Arnett and Jason Bateman and Sean, and they just yak with a guest.
To stadiums and arenas sometimes?
Sometimes,
Have you been on it yet?
No, I have not been on
it. Well, that's rude.
Yeah, well, if any of them are listening.
The answer's no.
Chris says it's rude, yeah.
Love music, love interviews with lovely musicians. Search Virgin Radio UK on YouTube to find brilliant album specials with some of the shiniest lights on our playlist, including George Ezra.
It won't be like this forever, so just enjoy it while it's here. It's a really wonderful thing.
And James Bay.
It's about me. It's about my relationship with Lucy. It sums up so much of what went into writing this whole album. We're all works in progress. I still don't necessarily know who I am.
And Depeche Mode's Dave Gahan remembering the late, great Andy Fletcher.
I'll be honest with you, the first thought that came in my head was, I wish I'd been a bit kinder.
Watch all that and more at youtube.com/Virgin Radio UK.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.